Thanks for listening to the Best of the Doug Gottlieb Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 3 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 12 to 3 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Doug Gottlieb Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
This is the Best of the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Now we've got Warriors-Raptors. This is a final that I know the American TV executives, at least the ones at ABC, were not hoping for, considering they're not going to get any ratings for what is happening in Canadian television. So now you only have one American market. But now you've got a team in the Golden State Warriors that's making it to its fifth straight final, and a Toronto Raptors team that has been a nice story but doesn't necessarily carry the momentum of a marquee team as opposed to maybe a big market team or a popular team in the NBA's Eastern Conference, like the Celtics or Knicks.
Would you like to hear Twitter on radio real quick, Dan?
Yeah, let's all do right. It.
The WNBA final said, "Nobody cares about our finals." And the NBA said, "Hold my beer." Yeah!
Hold my beer. That's a new one. Watch
you
this.
Douchebags. What a tired joke on Twitter. But look, it is... you've got the Golden State Warriors, and you've got a guy who doesn't talk.
I'm sorry.
That's what it is.
It's very Super Bowl-esque to me, where you had a Super Bowl with the Patriots and Rams that just did not gather a lot of buzz. The Rams come onto the scene, and you're thinking, wow, amazing offense going up against the Patriots team that seems to be in the Super Bowl every single year, and we're making their third straight appearance, and people are just kind of, eh. And if Kevin Durant was actually in this series, I think we would be even more blah about it. In fact, it's his injury that makes this actually intriguing. And if you want to take run the whole gamut of it, Kawhi's decision after the NBA Finals may be more intriguing than what we get over the 2 weeks of these finals.
Oh, I totally agree. The best thing, if interest-wise, is if Kevin Durant doesn't play in the series, because you still got that sitting on the back burner. That's still a conversation afterwards. You know he's going to be doing whatever he can do to try and get back in this series, because he doesn't want that picture painted without him, because he knows and he cares about his legacy. I don't know if you know this or not, Kevin Durant's sensitive, kind of hears a lot of things. And so I totally agree. Without him, it makes the series more interesting. I also think the Warriors, like, it's one thing to be hateable. You know, if you're a team and you win a championship or two championships, you're hateable. People dislike you. I get all that. But then sometimes you go and you are so good for so long that even the people who hate you get tired of hating and they just start to appreciate you. And I think that's where people are at with the Warriors. They're starting to appreciate them more. And when you appreciate something more, you don't really have the "I got to see them lose" mentality. And I just think there's a lack of something going into this finals.
I think them losing is a reason, like when they lost in 2016. And because I always just go back to the Bulls run in the mid-90s. Of the ratings got better and better when they just kept on winning and winning. Like, we've seen the Patriots lose. We've seen the Warriors lose. So the unbeatable nature is not there. It's like, I don't know, wrestling term when Goldberg was unbeaten. Like, you're like, yeah, all right, I'm just going to keep on watching. And then once that undefeated streak is done, you don't see it. And since the Warriors have already lost in a series, like, that greatness to me is, all right, we've seen that. Just like we've seen Tom Brady lose a Super Bowl. I also think, you know my thoughts on recognizing greatness. Like, I hate it when people are just like, "Hey, hats off to you. Hey, Steph Curry, tip of the cap to you." Like, I can't, like, that's not what being a fan is about.
Don't hate, congratulate.
Yeah, don't hate, congratulate. I hated the Bulls in all of their six NBA titles. At number six, I didn't stand up in my college apartment saying, "Good on you, Jordan. This one's for you, kid." Like, no, I was like, "Stupid Bulls, one again. You couldn't get it done, Karl Malone. What is your problem?" Like, that's what, looking back at the Bulls, you're like, wow, it was one heck of a run. Like, that's what the past is for. That's what the future is for. When you look back at what happened, you don't do it now on Twitter and say, "Sometimes you just got to tip your cap to Steve Kerr." No, you don't. Do that in 2028.
I remember hating the Bulls in the 90s, my youth basketball team. Okay, because you decide your team name based on what colors you're given. The league gives you out these colors. We got red and black. And to the death, I was demanding, because I dislike the Bulls so much, Let's be the Celtics. Like, why can't we be the Sonics? Supersonics? Anybody into that?
Let's be Cal State Northridge.
And then I realized, yeah, it's red and black. There's just not really a whole lot of options here. So, yeah, I get it. The Bulls had – there was a hateable aspect to the Bulls. Beat the Like Mike commercial, which to this day is one of the worst commercials I've ever seen in my life. The song's nauseating. That got to be a bit much. Is there a bad guy outside of Draymond Green who's questionable, but he's a hard player? Is there a bad guy in the series? Like, is there a bad guy in the series? The Bulls had Rodman towards the end, and you could look at that and go, okay, what? I mean, is there a bad guy in the series? I don't think that there is.
Yeah, outside of San Antonio and Kawhi, like that city is cheering. Like if you're in San Antonio, you got to cheer for the Warriors or you got to cheer for Kawhi?
Yeah.
Like, how awful is this NBA Finals for them? But yeah, to your point, I mean, Norman Powell comes out of nowhere and ends up becoming a key player. You got a nice story there. Fred VanVleet's a new dad. You're like, oh, that's so great. Yeah. Look at it. Kyle Lowry, all we did is just tear apart Kyle Lowry. That's all we've really basically done since he signed his long-term deal with the Raptors of being like, all right, is it really worth it? Even DeRozan was better than Kyle Lowry, so there's like that sort of factor. Marcus Gasol finally gets to a final. Yeah. There's not that angst. Drake's the one that you probably hate the most, I would say, and he's not even a member of the team. Like, if you're going to dislike someone in the series, that's probably Drake sitting on the sidelines.
Yeah, it's but again, this just goes back to my whole point on the NBA all season long. It's been less about the season and less about this series and more about the storylines that are attached to what happens if this, like, what happens, and if Kevin Durant doesn't come back, we know what the conversation is going to be like if Golden State wins the series. And then if Kawhi Leonard and the Raptors win this, you know he's gone. He's not sticking around. He won his title. He did his job. So I just think there's a lot of this predicated on a bunch of ifs with this series, and because of that, it's hard to really get excited for it. And plus, the finals aren't starting for like another 3 months, right? What is it, September?
It is 3 days. Like, I think Toronto has to win game one. If the Warriors go into Toronto and win, it will zap.
Oh, yeah.
Like, even the energy that is there, I think it zaps it even more so, because you think, oh, there they go. Because they haven't lost since Durant went out with his injury, 5-0.
But here's the one thing Toronto does really, and I don't know if people know this or not, but Toronto is known for three things, Dan. The Blue Jays, Tim Hortons, and losing game ones of NBA series.
Yes.
Right?
Like, yes.
That is what Toronto is known for. So if Golden State wins game one, this is just going to be a familiar feeling, because they feel it all the time. This is a team that lost to Orlando. You remember when Orlando was in the playoffs?
Yes.
Yeah. Unbelievable,
amazing.
Man.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at noon Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
So it is the Raptors and Warriors in the NBA Finals, but news came out within the last 24 hours about Kawhi Leonard. And it's not new news, but it's maybe just more news than we had about an old story. And it all goes back to the quad injury that Kawhi Leonard had when he was a member of the San Antonio Spurs, which was the main point of contention between Kawhi's camp and the Spurs organization, which ended up having Kawhi leave the organization when he was traded to the Toronto Raptors. His uncle, Dennis Robertson, spoke with Chris Haynes, friend of the network here from the Yahoo Sports, talking about the experience of going to the NBA Finals and being excited. The issue, though, came back to the quad injury that he had in San Antonio. And Robertson said this to Yahoo Sports: "I think it just became a lack of trust. They didn't believe Kawhi couldn't play, and that caused a lack of trust in us, and then us not believing in them. Anytime a player says he's not capable of playing, you should believe him. Why would Kawhi just stop playing all of a sudden? He's a competitor." Went on and on and saying that because the Spurs didn't believe him, the relationship couldn't recover, and the Kawhi camp just decided to move on. So this story has now popped up again, which was a little surprising. We talked with Rick Hamla earlier, Jonas, because I kind of thought, for as much of the load management that you had during the season, because this run has been so good and because Kawhi has been so good and because he's seemingly also playing through a leg injury, that maybe this stuff was in the past. I was surprised that this was brought up now by his uncle on the eve of the NBA Finals.
We only got the Spurs side of it while it was happening. We heard from his uncle a little bit, but Kawhi never really spoke on it because he doesn't really speak on anything. And so we only got the Spurs side of it at the time, and all we got was Popovich. All we got was Tony Parker taking shots at him, former teammates. But look, I can remember Steven Jackson, who was a teammate and knows all those guys, who was on Fox Sports Radio saying, look, don't doubt Kawhi. Like, this isn't just, you know, the Spurs have done him wrong. The Spurs have done him wrong. And you and I were on the same page to where I thought, hold on a second. Everybody's siding with people that are siding with Kawhi Leonard. When have the Spurs ever just blatantly screwed something up? It's a well-run organization, class personified. Why would they all of a sudden do this? And now the more you find out about it, and the more that stuff starts to come out after the fact, you realize, look, this was heavy on the side of the San Antonio Spurs, and it now starts to make a little more sense as to why Kawhi and his family felt like the bridge was burned.
Earlier on the show, we were joined by Rick Campbell of NBA TV. He told us this bit of information that may be intriguing to those who haven't heard it before.
The move has sort of been like it with the San Antonio camp with this, with the Greg Popovich camp, until I got some intel a couple of months ago from a Hall of Famer who he said the San Antonio Spurs misdiagnosed the injury to Kawhi Leonard. And I said, you're wrong. There's no way that happened. There's just no possible way a first-class organization like San Antonio would do that. He grabbed me by the shoulders, not violently, but just to and looked me right in the eye, and he said, I'm not lying. I got it straight from the Leonard camp. I believe it. And this Hall of Famer was so convincing, I'm like, damn, maybe they did misdiagnose his leg.
That was surprising to me.
Yeah.
Because to your point of everything that the Spurs seem to do always seemed to be the right way.
Yeah.
And I just thought it was Kawhi was angry about something and then just ended up being stubborn. Now you hear his uncle say what he did say, and it seemed to just break the trust immediately. And so once you've crossed that bridge, there was no way of going back. And then it was mentioned in the Chris Haynes article as well that the only leaks that seemed to be coming out were from the Spurs side. You mentioned that the players also speaking out as well. Yeah, hearing this side of things now and having Kawhi tell his story, I agree with Rick, who went on to say it's the perfect time for them to tell the story because right now all is good with Kawhi, and really the Spurs don't have any platform to say anything. So whatever happened is in the past. I was surprised that it has come up, but I'm now even more surprised that this seemed to be more of a San Antonio Spurs thing than we had originally thought.
It's got to be a helpless feeling. You tend to go towards the things that you're good at in life. If you're good at something, you tend to do it more. You're good with your words, thus you're in radio, Dan. You're good at broadcasting, thus you're still working at Fox Sports Radio. Kawhi Leonard doesn't talk because he's probably not the best communicator. Maybe he's not the best with his words. Maybe he feels uncomfortable. Imagine how helpless he must feel when the only way he can defend himself publicly is by using his words, and he can't because he's not good at it, and he's got his team that he thinks drafted or traded for him on draft day, loves him, is spinning a different narrative about him that's not true, and he can't defend it because it's just not his thing to go back and forth verbally. So the only thing he can do is say, I guess I just got to get out of here. Like, this just isn't working for me. I feel bad for the guy in this regard. He's not a guy who likes to communicate a lot. He doesn't like going to the media with certain things. He does bust his ass. There was zero drama with him off the court or anything in San Antonio. The only drama that was ever brought up about him was whether or not he was dogging an injury. And if you're an athlete and someone tells you that you're being fake about an injury, that's got to be frustrating, man. I now sort of have a different perspective on it, and I get why they feel the way that they do.
He was also put in a tough spot for a couple of reasons. We talked about it earlier, but I just remember the ankle injury in game one of the Western Conference Finals. He goes out after landing on Zaza Pachulia, and the series is over with. And you're saying, wow, what could have been, because they were up 25 points in that game. When you look at the injury, I was like, okay, when did the quad injury happen? But the other points that were against him were not only were Tony Parker dealing with a similar injury that now you had one to compare to, you had Tony Parker and Manu Ginobili in the sunset of their careers. So that season that he misses is a big deal to them because that's it. Like, it ended up being Parker's last season in San Antonio, Ginobili's last season, period. So when you see that happening and you see a guy who is like Manu Ginobili, who's been with the organization and is like, all right, I'm going to give it one more go, and this is going to be my season. And all of a sudden, the star player that you think is going to be there is looking out for himself. Yeah, as a player, you can relate, but you're also saying, I just went all in. So, like, those circumstances were against Kawhi Leonard as well, because there are very few teams that have veteran leadership that is more powerful than the star player. San Antonio is one of the only few places where, because Ginobili and Parker had the hardware. They did. I mean, they won titles before Kawhi was there. So when you look at that situation, as well as now those guys are coming over the top, because usually the star player is the one who gets the words. In that situation for Kawhi, it wasn't beneficial in San Antonio. That made the situation even more difficult.
And I think a lot of people look at what happened with Isaiah Thomas in Boston, and they go, there's a guy who did play through an injury that he probably shouldn't have, and look what happened to his career. I mean, so maybe Kawhi and his people were like, listen, we don't – why run the risk? We know something's wrong, and you're telling us that we can come back and play, and then you're going publicly and speaking about it. I'd love to know – And when it happened, I thought maybe a little bit of it, but I'd love to know if them deciding to move on from Tony Parker was their last ditch effort to tell Kawhi, hey, no more drama here anymore. Look, you know, he's gone. What do you say? You want to try this again? I'd love to know how the final days in San Antonio went. Was it just no communication whatsoever? Was there no effort to keep him around?
I thought that they had met. Didn't he and Popovich meet? I thought at some point where then he also reiterated his desire to end up leaving after the season ended. I thought that there was a meeting. I could be.
Or they tried to meet up or something like that.
Yeah, I thought there was at least some communication that said as much. But then once you're burned, or once you feel that way, yeah, it's tough to trust again.
Oh, yeah.
But I think that the situation was awkward. And I find it interesting now, because I know that they want to get out their story. And maybe it's working because you and I were on the Spurs side of things, and now we hear a little bit more and more, and we're hearing from different sources. But I had kind of forgotten about all of that. I was more concerned about Kawhi's free agency than of him leaving San Antonio. That was in the past. This is kind of bringing up the old relationship again.
And I was thinking about this over the weekend. When you just think about Kawhi Leonard and what he is, he's a perfect San Antonio Spur. Like, perfect.
Oh, yeah.
Like, they're going to look back on this. And at some point, whether they want to do it publicly or whether local shows are doing it in San Antonio or fans are doing it, they're going to look back on this and go, how did we screw that up? Like he's a perfect – like, when you see a wide receiver in the draft who's 5'8 and white, what do you say? That guy's going to be a Patriot. You know? when you see a European be drafted in the NBA, what are you assuming? All right, well, he's probably going to be a member of the Utah Jazz within the next 3 years. Like, there's certain things that just sort of match and make sense. Kawhi Leonard is a Spur. He's a perfect Spur. He doesn't talk. He's not about it. It's not his thing. He doesn't like the communicating, all the other stuff to go along with it. And somehow the San Antonio Spurs, who are as well run of an organization as you can find in sports, butchered this, allegedly, according to Kawhi's side. And now they're sitting back and they're watching him in the finals.
And the Spurs getting zero credit, or near zero credit, for the development of him as a player,
yep,
to become the type of player that now some are considering the best in the NBA.
But who do you think feels worse right now, DeMar DeRozan or George Hill?
It's DeRozan. Like, I have no idea who in the world DeMar DeRozan wants to win this NBA Finals.
Because George Hill was traded for Kawhi Leonard. And then I was thinking about that when the Bucks were playing the Raptors. Like, man, this is going to be the George Hill revenge series. Then after two games, it wasn't really the revenge series.
George Hill showed up.
Yeah, he did.
He at least been in the finals. So he had finals appearances with the Cavs. Like, DeMar DeRozan is, you can't win. Like, you can't shake that anymore. Like, a guy, you know, he broke up with his girlfriend, and all of a sudden now she's dating Prince Harry. Or I guess married to Prince Harry. They always say that Meghan Markle's ex, like, yeah, good luck doing better than me. Well, look, Prince Harry. That's where DeMar DeRozan is right now.
Why doesn't Larry Bird get any heat for trading Kawhi Leonard on draft day? I mean,
I will say this. If you traded Kawhi to any of the other 28 teams in the league, or if he stayed in Indiana, I don't think he's the player that he is now. Like, so I know I'm not answering your question. Plus, George Hill was somewhat decent.
Yeah, more
but at
developed.
The time, like, I remember Kawhi at San Diego State. They played in the regional down in Anaheim in 2011. And in that series, you had Kyrie Irving play for Duke. You had Kemba Walker play for UConn. You had Derek Williams, who ended up being the number two overall pick,
Arizona.
Playing at Arizona. You also had Jeremy Lamb, who was a freshman at UConn. Kyrie was good for San Diego State, but like those were the names that you were talking about there. So even the thought of him, even though he was a mid-first round pick, I don't think anybody thought you would get this. And I tipped the Spurs tip of the cap to the Spurs for developing Kawhi.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at noon Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.
The Raptors have been getting stuff done in the Eastern Conference playoffs, and now they find themselves in the NBA Finals. Joining us now, he's the Raptors radio play-by-play man. Paul Jones joins us here on Fox Sports Radio. Hey, Paul, thanks so much for coming on. I know it's a busy time, but we appreciate it.
And I can tell you guys are skilled right away, because if I had a dollar for every time somebody messed up, Paul Jones joins us.
I did. Actually,
I could. No, you didn't. Oh, you didn't. Okay. I was listening. I always listen to that in. Let's see. This is, is this one going to be, ruined, or is it going to be a clean in? And it's a pretty clean in. I'll give it to you.
As a play-by-play guy, is there a name that just is tough for you? I mean, we know Antetokounmpo is not easy for anyone, but was there like a simple name that had like double consonants that has been difficult for you in your history?
No, because I mean, like having played a little bit myself and with a brother that's on the other network, he says, you got to nail the names.
Yeah.
It's like a figure skater, man. When you come to that triple axel, if you're wavering at all, the judges are going to take points off. So, like Antetokounmpo, we get a lot of international players.
Yeah.
And the one that I kind of take pride in, when everybody was calling him Barajan, we had a Brazilian guy on our team, Rafael Araújo, and Rafa said, they're saying his name wrong. I said, well, how do you say his name? He said, it's not Barajan, it's Barajal. I'm like, are you sure? He's like, yeah. I said, okay, well, so when we play Cleveland, I'm going to say Barajal, and I won't get laughed at. He goes, not by the people in Brazil, but no, you won't.
Very, very good. Paul Jones, radio voice of the Toronto Raptors, joins us here on Fox Sports Radio.
Paul, who'd you think about, former Raptor that you thought about first when the clock was winding down and you finally got to the finals?
I thought about two of them. I thought about DeMar DeRozan because he had – He wanted to be in Toronto. He had given everything to this city. And when other free agents took the money once and then left, he took the money twice. And the second time, he took less money than he could have. He took less than a max deal to stay here. And when the Colangelo regime drafted him here, they said, oh, we got this great kid from USC, and we're going to make him an all-star. And you kind of roll your eyes and go, yeah, everybody says that about their first-round pick. And every summer, a guy comes back 15 pounds heavier, stronger, with a better jump shot. Like, yeah, right. And they did. We watched the kid grow up here in 9 years and become an all-star. And he said, I was here for 22 and 60. I was here for the losing. I want to be here for the winning. And he had, under Dwayne Casey, had, five winning seasons. And he was one of the guys. And, Dwayne Casey was another guy. And Jonas Valanciunas was probably the third. A big Lithuanian community here in Toronto. And JV, he was great in the community. I mean, he's the kind of kid that the training staff, the strength and conditioning coaches, would say before the game, okay, can you stop shaking everybody's hand and playing like the freaking mayor of Toronto and get warming up? So those were the three that probably came to mind. But at the same time, all the people that really were disheartened by the trade and didn't really know Kawhi Leonard as a basketball player and were complaining about load management. And I was saying, so how's that game working against the Atlanta Hawks on a Wednesday night in February that Kawhi misses and you're upset? Like, do you see why they're doing that now? Do you get it now? And for all those people that really didn't like the trade and for all the right personal reasons, guys, a guy that loved Toronto, wanted to be here, was trumpeting the cause, took less money, was great in the community, DeMar, with the kids, and he ran a camp you know, at an area that was one of the most impoverished areas in North America. Like that kind of stuff pulls at heartstrings, and people were sad to see him go. But now they're in the finals. I think they're okay with that.
Paul Jones joins us here on Fox Sports Radio. He's Jonas Knox. I'm Dan Byer, sitting in for Doug Gottlieb. How did the Raptors carve out their place in the Toronto sports landscape? Here in the States, we obviously know about the Blue Jays' success, but that was 25 years ago. We remember the couple of World Series. It was a long time ago. And I think there's just the thought of it's just a Maple Leafs town, and that's what it is. How did the Raptors make their place in that landscape?
It is still a Maple Leafs town, but basketball is on the rise. And people laughed at me in 2000 when I said that one day it might not be in my lifetime. Basketball is going to be bigger than hockey. They thought they were going to string me up and stone me. Like, that's sacrilege. And the multicultural nature of Toronto, and all the different, you know, the different nationalities and ethnic groups here, you know, Toronto's world class, and they love their basketball. And what's happened is the team playing well, combined with that demographic, that urban representation, that you know, different nationalities and their representation throughout the Raptors fan base, has helped people say, "Wow, this is pretty good." And here's my analogy, guys. If you weren't a golf fan in like 97 or 98, but you were kind of a sports fan or just following the world in general, you'd probably say, who is this guy Tiger Woods? He's turning the place on its ear. Maybe I should pay attention. And that's what's happening in Toronto now. The casual fan, and you guys said it, the same way the Blue Jays did back in, you know, from 87 to about 93, the same way the Blue Jays did by winning, people are starting to get on board and say, hey, you know what? Everybody's talking about this at the water cooler at work. I might want to know what's going on here. I better watch a game. And then you watch a game and you get hooked. And you know, the hook gets in your mouth and you're never leaving the NBA.
He is Paul Jones, the voice of the Toronto Raptors, with us here on Fox Sports Radio. Dan Byer, Jonas Knox in for Doug Gottlieb. What's the feeling there in Toronto about the likelihood of Kawhi sticking around after this season?
It's just getting stronger and stronger. You know, Kawhi's he comes across and he is a kind of an old school. The guy just wants to hoop. He wants the ball. He doesn't necessarily want or crave the spotlight. He just, and I'll tell you this, as Canadians, people leave him alone. I mean, you know, it's not like they're not going to see him out in the street and ask for an autograph or a picture or whatever, but he's not going to be constantly accosted. And I think he can, you know, in a relative sense, have his privacy up here, and he's got a whole country behind him. There are people in the far reaches of this country that now have become basketball fans and are watching Kawhi Leonard. And when he was traded here, and those of us in the know from the basketball world kind of fainted with our jaws open saying, oh my God, they got a top three player in the league. Some people had no idea. And as I said before, now they get it. And everybody, I mean, there's guys, they have promotions on up here in Canada, things called Kawhine and Dine, where he's being offered free food to any restaurant. There's one guy that's ready to give him like a penthouse apartment. Like it's gone crazy now that people have seen how good he is and what he means to a team. You know, everybody's, I mean, I had one guy on Twitter say, we've got a local department store here, the Bay. It's akin to a JCPenney or a Neiman Marcus or some, you know, big department store in the U.S. Some guy went in and said, I saw Kawhi. He was buying something at the Bay and he got a rewards card. You know, like they're just looking for anything that says he's going to stay. And the one guy replied on Twitter, I'll tell him it takes a long time to get points, but I'll give him all my points.
sticking around for that 15% discount or that free gift on your birthday. Hey, first of all, or I should wrap up with this. I think you're the first guest, Paul. Is that a double underscore in the Twitter handle?
When you have a name like Paul Jones, you got to be creative. Yeah, there's two underscores.
Yeah, you can't be Paul Jones 1942. So this makes it a lot easier. Paul double underscore Jones, Raptors play-by-play voice. Thanks so much for the time. Okay, congratulations to you. It should be fun on Thursday through the NBA Finals. I know as broadcasters, it's always neat when you get this opportunity. So I know you weren't on the court, but congratulations and have the call of your life these next couple weeks.
Well, guys, I'm going to tell you, I called the very first game when the Raptor busted out of the egg, November 3rd, 1995, and Eddie Pinkney jumped center for Toronto against Yinka Dare of the New Jersey Nets. So I've been here a long time. It's nice to be. Nice to still be dancing in June.
I forgot the Raptor came out of the egg. I forgot about that. Oh, that's awesome.
I forgot about Yinka Dare, the late Yinka Dare.
Ed Pinkney. I remember Ed Pinkney.
Oh, yes. Oh, good times. And those throwbacks are great.
At some point, guys, we're going to get together and we're going to trade stories. And, man, the things I can tell you.
Oh, we appreciate it, Paul. We'll do it again soon. Thanks so much. And, again, have great calls during the finals.
All right, great.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at noon Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
All right. Are you ready for something that the more I'm thinking about it, the more I realize it's probably not the greatest idea in the world?
I know we're ready. Is Isaac Lowe and Karan ready? Isaac, are you ready for this?
I'm actually not ready because I've continued to watch more of the Raptors' inaugural game video against the New Jersey Nets. And before they tip off, they do the usual panning of celebrities in the front row at the Sky Dome. And instead of being Drake, in 1995, the front row celebrities...
Sarah McLachlan.
Kathy Ireland and David Hasselhoff. Oh, I kid you not.
I thought it would have been Mike Reno from Loverboy.
or Alanis Morissette. Or, come on, man. Couldn't do better than that.
By the way, Jean Tabak, the starting center for the Raptors, and center was spelled C-E-N-T-R-E on the TV graphics.
Oh, nice. At least they didn't put left wing Elvin Robertson.
Can we get Tabak to the segment here, Dan?
Let's do it.
That?
All right, here it is. Stamos or Ramos? Basically, we are just throwing up things to Isaac, and he's got to determine if it's John Stamos or John Ramos. Or Ramos, for the sake of this.
Thankfully, Ramos posts so much about his life on Facebook that I think I have a fighting chance here.
All right.
All right. You ready for this, Isaac?
We'll find out. Go for it.
His middle name is Philip.
John Ramos. Ramos.
Have mercy. Have mercy.
No.
It is John Stamos.
No.
It is John Stamos. John Ramos' middle name is Miles.
Yes.
Named after Miles Turner of the of the Indiana Pacers.
JMR. JMR. Remember? There it is. When John signs the co-account that he has with Suzanne, when it's his post, he'll write JMR.
I know. Like, we can't tell who's posting what. Like, we don't know who's posting what.
Wait a minute. He also signs his work emails sometimes, JMR. I really should have known that.
Yeah, he's a blowhard.
Have mercy.
Who recently put up their Beverly Hills mansion for sale at the price tag of $6.75 million?
Well, because it's a Beverly Hills mansion and not a South Pasadena mansion, I'm going to go with John Stamos.
Have mercy.
Yes, that is correct. That is Stamos.
Whatever happened to predictability?
Wait, it's good to see we got a lot of drops tied to John Stamos. Everything's have mercy. Is that like three have mercies in a row?
Yes, three in a row.
All right, here we go. Isaac, next up on Stamos or Ramos, met his wife at a corn dog stand. Is that Stamos or Ramos?
Not to get personal, but which wife? There are three wives here, actually.
Well, I don't think we need to shame the guy's marriage.
I'm not. I didn't say that. I was just trying to clarify. I'm going to guess. You know, I'm going to guess John Ramos.
Ramos.
That is correct.
All right.
You're
good at this, Isaac.
Corn dogs.
All right. Offense, but I couldn't picture Rebecca Romijn strolling around at the L.A. County Fair at the corn dog stand.
Oh man.
All right, Ramos or Stamos?
All right.
Had an affair with this woman that his wife still doesn't know about. No, I'm just kidding. I'm totally kidding. Totally kidding. Suzanne, I am kidding. I am joking. I am joking.
Delete that from the podcast.
Okay. Why is the hotline ringing?
In 35 seconds, it will be. Okay, Stamos or Ramos, who worked for his father's restaurant growing up?
You know what? Ooh, man. I'm actually going to guess before he became an actor, I'm actually going to guess John Stamos before he landed General Hospital.
Yes, there it is.
Have mercy.
A lot of thought went into the draft tied together with John Stamos here.
I think it was 1:12 Pacific time. We're like, doesn't he say have mercy a lot? All right, we had to do it after John's lunch at noon.
Stamos or Ramos, last one for me, Isaac. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Here we go. Left a co-worker's funeral early.
Jeez. I'm going to say, I actually think I know which co-worker it was. I'm going to say John Ramos, but he probably had a good reason.
That is correct. Oh, yeah, great. He had a good reason. Softball game.
Yeah, that's not a good reason. No. Never mind.
Ramos.
I've got five more. No, I'm just kidding. Who coached their soccer team to a winless season 1 year?
Well, like I said, just because he posts about it on Facebook, I'm going to guess John Ramos.
Ramos.
Yes, it was Ramos.
And actually, I have one more, Dan.
Oh, okay.
One more. Stamos or Ramos. Isaac, here we go. Doesn't produce his own work. Stamos or Ramos?
I'm going to say John Ramos Ramos, because Stamos is like a co-producer for Fuller House, isn't he?
Yep, that is correct. And the John Ramos show, the actual John Ramos, does none of it. None of it is on John Ramos.
In the mind of John Ramos.
There it is. Good job, Isaac.
All right.
You know your stuff.
Thank you. And I'll just duck in since the report a few moments ago. Steve Kerr went on to confirm that Kevin Durant is out for game one of the NBA Finals. Not a shock, but he just did confirm that.
Right. There it is. That's the final word. I wouldn't even travel. He's not going to play in games.
Have to go through customs and all that.
And you can post on social media. To go to Canada. No, it's just a headache.
Gives him more time to post angry comments on social media.
My God, Isaac. We're coming out with the ball bats today. Jesus. All right. Dan Byer, Jonas Knox in for Doug Gottlieb here on Fox Sports Radio. We were trying to get out earlier, but Isaac doesn't care about the clock at all. We care about the clock, but Isaac doesn't.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.